Welcome back to the Cover Zero podcast. I'm your host tonight, Jordan, joined by, as always, my guy, Jay. How you doing, bro?
Doing all right, man. You know, we took a loss, so, you know, I gotta go through the week without watching any ESPN, any Fox, any, you know, I gotta skip all that, man, because I don't feel like hearing it, man. So, you know, I gotta get through a week without it.
I hear that, man. I hear that indeed. It was a tough loss today for the resident Raider fans here at the Cover Zero podcast, Jay and myself. Hung tough. We'll get to a little bit about that game later on in time. But the first loss since Antonio Pierce took over as head coach. As you guys know, listening on Sunday's recap show, our reaction show, we do things a little bit differently. We bring up stuff to what really caught our eye, the good and the bad. And in particular, in this week, we're going to kick things off with pretty much the bad side of things with our What's Going On segment here.
Oh, no. Is them again? Cover Zero, nice to hear from you again. This is the NFL Executive Office. How can I help you today?
What? Remember, I just have one question.
And what is your question?
What's going on? What's going on? Jay, who lands here for you this week?
I got to go with the Commanders, bro. I mean, you know, this is a team that I just talked about last week, having them replace the Vikings in the playoff picture. Now, the Vikings just lost. That still could happen. But for the simple fact, man, that they lost to Tommy DeVito, Danny DeVito's grandson, you know, DeVito's on football. Grandson. It's crazy, bro.
My cousin Vinny joking, in there winning.
But yeah, they lost to somebody. Yeah, bro, like that to me, I mean, because you've seen what we did. He just started getting some playing time. You've seen how he played against, you know, our defense, which it wasn't good. And I know that the, you know, the Commanders, I know they got rid of some players. But to me, to allow, and the crazy thing about this is they got 9 sacks on him. They sacked him 9 times. But for them to allow almost 300 yards in passing, 3 touchdowns, a good completion rate, I mean, to me, that's unacceptable. Unacceptable for a team that's still in the race in the playoffs, man, because they're right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now losing to a team that don't even have their starting quarterback, you know, to me, that's crazy. And they lost big. It wasn't even a game. And that's, you know, and it's 2 defensive guys. This is what gets me about the Commanders so much, man, is when they have these lopsided losses, I think about the guys that's coaching that team. You got the defensive coordinator in Jack Del Rio. You have Ron Rivera, a defensive-minded guy as the head coach.
Right.
That should never happen, bro. Never. It's just not with a backup quarterback like this dude, man. That just shouldn't happen. So, mm-hmm. you know, that to me, that's my what's going on, man, because the NFC, we talked about the NFC and the AFC. They're both different conferences as far as the strengths.
Mm-hmm.
NFC is a weaker conference, bro. It's a way weaker conference. The Commanders got a chance to really take advantage and at least get that 7th spot, and they're messing around right now, man. They're messing around. You know, you shouldn't be losing to a backup quarterback.
31 points on the board for the Giants today. 17 points coming into the fourth quarter, and just like you said. Defensive side of the ball, allowing this type of things. And then even if you look offensively, the blunders were so massive. It was like they turned the ball over 6 times today and gave the Giants 24 points off of those turnovers.
Yeah.
This is the exact opposite of complimentary football. And as we start to get closer to the end of the year, you really start to wonder what it is that like Rivera is bringing to this team and the position that he's putting them in to be able to compete in a spot right now, like you said, bro. What's your identity? Where the NFC has areas up for grabs. We just did our playoff predictions. You had them in there in the NFC. I could definitely see a scenario where they get in there. But these are the type of games that you just can't be dropping these in this division to a team like the Giants are currently right now.
Right, right.
Yeah, unacceptable stuff. Tough. My what's going on, another defensive head coach whose defense has not lived up to the bill for a long time. And this isn't anything new when bringing this team into this type of discussion. Mine is the Chargers losing today in Lambeau Field 23-20. I mean, this Packers team had 3 wins over 9 games going into this contest today. And the Chargers have talked about getting things right for a long time this year, and they haven't. last season, this team at this juncture in the season, as we were about within a week of Thanksgiving, this ball club was sitting at around 500. They were able to turn things around, finish really strong, land themselves in the playoffs. We all know what happened there with a blunder after they were up big against Jacksonville. Right. Now, that's not even seeming like a possibility with how bad things are going. This was a game where, and they were kind of in a time where Justin Herbert is being wasted away in some ways. Today, this loss was not on him. He ended up being the team's leading rusher today. He had 73 yards on the ground. He threw for upwards somewhere around like the high 200s. And there was a play with 32 seconds left. I don't know if you saw the game.
I didn't see it.
Chargers were, it was the final score. It was 23-20. Third down, 32 seconds left to go. Herbert evades pressure. They're coming right. He sneaks out a little bit, hold to the left, stops before he crosses the line of scrimmage, fires a nine ball down the field to Quentin Johnston, bro.
I've seen it. You know what? And I got tagged. I got tagged on Twitter about it, talking about how's your boy, what's going on with your boy and all that, man. So, yeah, I did see it on Twitter. That's crazy, bro.
The ball.
In his head, it's like he caught it, and then he didn't want it. He didn't know. Yeah. He didn't know what to do because he's not used to catching the ball. So he was like, I don't know what to do here. I'm just going to throw it on the ground. I seen that, bro. It was crazy.
That at minimum, that puts them, let's say he catches it and to secure the catch and get his feet in. Let's say his momentum takes him out of bounds or whatever. They're at least in field goal range to push this thing to overtime, make it interesting, et cetera, et cetera. If he hangs on to the ball, he was in stride. There was no one who was in front of him. He could run that in for the game.
Yeah,
that just like was so, that was such a Charger moment. That was such a Charger moment. That
was a Charger moment. Yeah. Yeah.
That was such a Charger moment. It was that play. And then also Joey Bosa getting hurt early in the game. Joey Bosa.
Yeah, got carted off, man.
Got carted off. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, yeah, hopefully he's all right. But how many times have we seen it where the Chargers lose people to injury? Yeah. That's like, it's a luck thing. At some point, it almost seems like a curse thing.
Yeah.
And it's the same people, too.
Not to cut you off. It's the same people. You know,
100%.
Derwin James, you know, the same people. Although he's been healthy, but I'm just, you know, when we talk about this issue, this history with this team, it's been the same star players, you know, and that sucks, man.
Same star players. The Chargers going into this game, or no, right now finishing this game upon the conclusion, are allowing 291 passing yards through the air per game. No other team right now is allowing 270. This is a defense having those names like you brought up and like we have mentioned for so long that are just currently not being able to get it done. Jordan Love has shown some issues throughout the course of this year. He sets a career high with 320 plus through the air today. This was with Aaron Jones exiting the game early in the second quarter. I mean, there was a 3rd and 20 in the fourth quarter on their own 15. It was the Packers ball. And Jordan Love drops back. And he fires his pass that goes incomplete, but there's a holding call, defensive pass interference, I think is what it actually was, on Asante Samuel Jr. They pick up the flag. The Chargers are just notoriously for allowing giant conversions in these type of situations where the leverage is highly in their favor considering the down and distance. They have allowed a 50% conversion rate on plays 3rd and 15 or longer. They've allowed 6 conversions on 3rd and 15 or longer. No other team has allowed 3. It's just absolutely awful. No other team is allowing a conversion rate higher than, what is it right now, 20%. They're at 50 and allowing twice as much as the second worst team in this category. Yeah. This type of thing is what leads reporters in the postgame presser to ask Brandon Staley, hey, what's going on? Like we're asking right here in this show. What you going to do differently, and are you going to be able to turn over play calling duties? He's getting frustrated. I get it. It sucks. But Chargers, what's going on? Right now, you find yourself after Denver wins a very, very tight one tonight against the Vikings. Chargers find themselves dead last in the AFC West.
Yeah, yeah. And that would be a smart move for Brandon Staley to do, is to give up the play call. Now, I know you don't want to. You know, pride thing, ego thing, whatever. But at this point, I think it would be smart to do so. Because right now, his job is, I mean, he's on the hot seat, man.
He really is.
He got to be the number one dude right now that's like, okay, yeah, your seat is hotter than any of these head coaches right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the smart thing to do would be give up the play calling duties and just see if you can get some, you know, going on the defense with another play caller. And then maybe that saves your job. Because right now, bro, it's not looking good at all.
No.
It's not looking good at all.
It's not. And if you think of, like, all these coaches that we have, when we had our midseason check-in where we were talking about the first coach to go, you were right, Josh McDaniels getting that X. And we were overjoyed as Raider fans when that happened.
Right.
So you had Josh McDaniels there. We brought up Staley. He was in this conversation. My name at that time was Matt Eberflus. We were just talking about Ron Rivera recently with what we saw today and have seen with Washington. You look at all of these coaches, and the one thing that Staley has that none of the other guys do is a top-tier quarterback. None of these other guys have that. Yeah. He's a defensive dude with a top-tier quarterback on the other side, and you just can't seem to do anything right. This is a situation that is unique in of itself and why his seat is so hot right now. Definitely. We'll move on to our brighter parts of the show. Our ICU, what made us take notice? Who caught our attention for the good reasons? Obviously, the bullshit always catches our eye as well. But this is where we much like to shift our gaze to, and that's the ICU. I see you, bruh. I see what you're doing out there. I like it. I see what you're doing. I see you. I have a couple today. I have two. I'm going to go first. Jay, I'll let you drop yours in the middle. My first one today. I got to go with one of them boys over there from the Dallas Cowboys. Second-year player out of Fresno State, fifth-round pick, Deron Bland. The corner who stepped up in the absence when Trayvon Diggs, Dallas's star corner, who went out with an injury. Ever since Deron Bland has come in, not only has he filled in nicely, this dude is having a better season than Trayvon Diggs has ever had right now as a corner.
He's been in the league, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's on some all-pro type. Unprecedented stuff. He leads the league right now in interceptions with 6, and he leads the league in pick sixes right now with 4. He notched his 6th one today and the 4th INT that he had a house call on, ran it back, and he ties the NFL record for most in a single season. Jonathan Mingo, rookie receiver, was running a drag route. Bland was in outside leverage on that, which is not a very advantageous position to be against when you're defending a drag and man. And Mingo, he got upfield just a little bit. You want to keep that drag route flat to the line of scrimmage to help your quarterback. But as soon as he got upfield, Bland recognized it and closed that distance quickly, made a diving pick, but still had the presence of mind to get up and run it back for 6 points. It's pretty nuts right now, man. He is only 24 years old. He's 10th in the NFL in pass breakups going into today. Lowest passer rating allowed when targeted before today. Right. When quarterbacks are throwing into his coverage, that's a 32.8 passer rating. Do not do this is basically what that number translates to.
Yeah.
He's looking so good.
He's starting to become one of those cornerbacks where you don't want to throw his side. You know, and there's not too many of those now in the league.
It's
man.
Not.
It's really not too many of them. And he's becoming one of those dudes for real.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely is. Allowed only one touchdown into his coverage this year. As I previously mentioned, returned back 4 TDs. So he has more pick sixes by far than he has TDs allowed on the year. Third lowest completion percentage allowed when targeting him. 10th fewest yards allowed, because that was always the knock on Diggs when he was getting these turnovers too, is that he was giving up a lot of yardage.
He gave up a lot of yardage,
yeah. Yeah, that high, you know, that really high risk, high reward type of thing. Yeah. Bland is giving you that solid coverage down in and down out, but then also those big type of bonus plays. And it's just, Cowboy fans couldn't be happier right now. And to think about just not even this season, if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, just this season, he's been a huge godsend. With him and with Parsons, and with Diggs, that's 3 dudes right now, right in their early to mid-20s coming into their prime that you can use as a pillar for this defense going forward. So, Deron Bland, I see you, man. Keep doing what you're doing. We're going to do our season awards. I'm going to always keep doing my All-Pros. Definitely going to be mentioned in both, if not at least, or definitely going to mention in one of those, if not both. So, yeah, I see you, Deron Bland. Jay, for you today, who gets your ICU?
I got to go with the Raiders defense, bro. I got to, man. I got to give us some type of credit, man. I can't really, there's no moral victories in the NFL or with anything, really.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's how I look at it.
Me too,
but
I agree.
This right here, man. You know what I'm saying? But this right here, you got to give credit to this Raiders defense, man. A lot of times when we've seen our team play, this defense play, it's been against offenses. When they play well, it's been against offenses that's really not that good. We've seen the last 2 weeks. They went against the Giants. They went against the Jets. two quarterbacks. Well, I just talked about one of them. He did light up the Commanders today, but he ain't that too good of a quarterback. He's a backup, and sure. Zach Wilson, we know who he is. But the whole year, outside of a couple games, the Bills being one of them, this defense has been playing pretty well. Today, they played the Miami defense, bro. I mean, the Miami offense, and they're ranked number one. They're ranked number one in passing offense. Total offense are ranked number one. Mm-hmm. Ranked number one in passing offense, and they're ranked number third, I believe, third or fourth in rushing offense. And just the way this team really, really just as a unit played together, and we're doing it without a number one corner. We still don't have a number one corner. Our safeties are still questionable. Morig played well, though. Morig played well.
Did you notice Epps came out for a stretch today? I think he had a hand injury. Yeah.
He fell on his hand when he tried to tackle Tyree. So it was a, you know, hopefully he's all right. Cause he's been playing actually pretty solid. But then, number 20,
Palameo.
He came in, got the interception. That was big time right there. And that's the thing I wanted to bring up is just the turnovers. You know, Miami don't really turn over the ball like that. We was able to get two fumbles, an interception. The problem was, which, you know, we're obviously not going to discuss the whole game and whatnot, but the problem was is that we couldn't really turn them into points. You know, it was mainly just, you know, you know when you get turnovers, especially when you're going against a high-powered offense, you got to be able to turn them into touchdowns, not 3 points. You know, but the defense did their part. They held them to 20 points, 6 points just in the second half alone. Really impressed. I mean, Tyree did his thing. We knew he was going to do his thing. No, we wasn't really – I don't think no Raider fan really thought, oh, yeah, he wasn't going to go off. You know, we don't have that corner.
If anyone did, that's a dumb Raider fan. you don't do that to Tyreek.
Tyreek, exactly. Nobody, everybody, it's hard to really shut him down. You know, he's going to get his regardless for the most part. The Chiefs was just one of those teams last week that was able to do it. For the most part, it's hard to really do it, man. So, that's it, man. And then when I think of the run game, you know, I talked about the Raiders' run defense early on into the season. I think you asked me when we were getting ready to play New England. It was one of the games that we previewed, and you asked me, how do you think New England can win this game? How do you think they should attack the Raiders' defense? The thing I brought up was, you know, they need to run the ball. That's one thing I think hasn't really been tested yet. And obviously, New England don't really run the ball like that, so you know, you didn't see it. It is what it is. But other teams have been able to run the ball at times. Today, although Raheem Mostert had 86 yards, it was off 22 attempts. He had no touchdowns, and they made him work for it because he didn't average that many points. I mean, average that many yards. So, in his longest run was 10 yards. So they really, really made him work for that, and it was just impressive, man. It was impressive what I seen from his defense, man. If anybody, you know, if AP Antonio Pierce gets the interim tag removed, if he keeps anybody, I think one guy he should really consider keeping is Patrick Graham. And I think. Yeah. Patrick Graham has kind of made things a little bit more simpler, not, you know, too, you know, hard for, you know, the players to kind of understand. The schemes are a little bit more easier, and it's helping out the players, man. And again, he's doing it without a number one corner. We don't have a number one corner. We still need pass rush outside of Max Crosby, you know, but these guys is just, you know, they are playing some really, and I don't got to talk about Robert Spillane, do I? I mean, we already know how good
talk about him, man. He's playing so well.
He's a dog, bro. He should have had an interception today. It should have been
It would have been a crazy pick. It would have been a crazy pick. But, like, his rope, that was such a perfect robot technique on that one.
Man, you
backpedal like that. Play robot technique, everybody listen. You play through the eyes of the quarterback, and you basically are moving like you aren't looking where you're moving. You're letting the quarterback dictate where you go.
Yeah.
That's textbook right there.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. And he's just been on fire, man. He's been on fire. And let's just make this clear, he's doing this with a broken hand. So he has a cast on. You know, his hand broke. He went and got surgery and went back out and played. That was last week. He did that before we played the Jets. So the dude, man, he's been a dog, man. The whole defense has been dogs. We know about Max Crosby. You know, that's probably my defensive player of the year. No cap. I'm sorry. I mean, you look at his stats. You look what he's doing.
You are dumbfounded by that. That's not homerism right there.
It's not, but there is some guy like Myles Garrett. I could see why people would have Myles Garrett. I got Garrett right now, but I got
Crosby too.
Okay. Some guys got TJ Watt, you know, which I wouldn't mind him winning, obviously.
Sure.
You know, but yeah, man, that's my CU, man. It gotta be the Raiders defense. Really impressed. And they showed me that they are a legit defense. I can't say elite because they're still missing some pieces there.
Yeah.
But legit as far as playing as a unit,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Miami this year is leading the league in points per game coming into this contest. And even well, sitting here right now, as we're doing this show, averaging 31.3 points per game. And the Raiders hold them to 20, 11 points below what they are averaging on the year while at home. And it could have been a lot worse because the yards that Miami had at certain points of the game, it just seemed like the Raiders couldn't do anything. Yeah. But then they would tighten up. They could have laid down and folded. They would tighten up. They would get key picks. They had a stop on a fourth down, force a turnover on downs deep in the red zone when it looked like Miami was about to score. Defense went ahead and stepped up. You know, and there's going to be other areas where the Raiders as a team can play a little bit more complimentary on offense, like you were saying, capitalizing off of those turnovers. Right. That'll come, young team, right. Young QB, new coach, et cetera, all those things. But the defense today was the reason why this game never left one possession as far as it being out of reach. The reason why this was a game deep into the fourth all the way to the end was because of what the defense was doing and just not being able to give up. A lot of dudes playing some really inspired ball over there. And just like a lot of what we saw, I got to also give the Dolphins credit. They had a plan for Max Crosby today, just throwing all kinds of different looks at him. Here, we're going to chip you and then have a tackle on you. Here, we're going to run an RPO right at you and not block you. Here, we're going to have a run play where the tackle releases and gets past you, and we're going to have a sift block come in on the side of you, right, just clipping you. Like, all kinds of different things, just toying with his speed. And then Tua and the offense just having a super, super, super quick release to where even if you win it in the pass rush, you aren't going to get home in 2 seconds or less because the ball coming out so quick. So, like, that's just – and even still with all of that, to be able to execute a good game plan against the ace that this defense has and for the defense to only allow 20 in the whole game, like a lot of what I saw here today, there were a lot of guys out there making plays. Like you had mentioned, Palameo. We also had Tyler Hall getting a lot of snaps. Been a backup safety off and on the practice squad. Yeah. He was doing work today, mixing in different bodies. So, I mean, there's a lot to like with what we're seeing here with this Raiders defense and going forward, get a few more pieces, get some guys worked into the system, and hey, see what else is next and what's ahead. But definitely a good one, and they're deserving here considering that the line for this game was 13.5 in favor of Miami.
I know, yeah.
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 So, real nice showing today from the Raider defensive unit. My ICU today goes to Brock. My other ICU, I should say, goes to Brock Purdy. This guy today, and really honestly, even like the last 2 weeks, but mostly today, Purdy Mania started last year around this time in December. It was early December, so a little bit later than right now, against the Buccaneers. I was in the building for that game, and it was the Tom Brady versus Brock Purdy, and the Niner offense just took off. Purdy had officially arrived. And since then, Brock Purdy, over the course of a year, he's had his highs, which is Purdy Mania, of course. Obviously, you get that nickname attached to it. We all know there's highs when that comes to that. He's also had his lows this season when the Niners lost three straight, and they landed on the what's going on side as opposed to the ICU side. And now, today, his operation was absolutely dope. 158.3 quarterback rating. For everybody listening, that is a perfect passer rating. He was 21 of 25 for 333 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions. The first Niner QB to ever have a perfect passer rating with at least 20 pass attempts. Only 21 other QBs have done such in the history of the NFL. The last time we saw a Niner with a perfect passer rating was in 1989 when Joe Montana did it. And he was in like the teens with his attempts. Before today, Brock Purdy led the NFL in EPA per dropback. After today, he finished 7 of 10 for 213 yards and 2 touchdowns on passes that traveled 10 yards in the air. He now currently also leads the NFL in EPA per dropback on passes over 10 yards through the air. So a lot of people think he's dinking and dunking, throwing to wide open guys, and sure, at times there are wide open dudes. But when you are picking up that much chunks through the air and you're hitting dudes in stride, you aren't a system QB like some people will try to dismiss him as. He's clearly not there right now. His ability, something that just today, going back and watching that game, his ability to move off of his first read, like, nope, that's not there, know where the second one is, and be able to rip it the second he gets to that second one, it's top-tier level stuff. It's lethal, right? And considering those numbers that I mentioned at the beginning, right, he had Ayuk in the first quarter, about like six-ish minutes left in the first quarter, on a nine route against Carlton Davis down the left sideline. Ball was like right here on the hands of Ayuk. Ayuk couldn't come down with it, lost his footing, fell down. So just imagine what the numbers would have been there. He connected with Ayuk on another deep ball on a slot fade. That was a ball to ball to Ayuk over Jamel Dean in the slot. That ended up being a 71-yarder. That was his longest pass he's had of his career to date. And that one was dope. He hit a couple of different tight window throws in the mix of the offense. There was a play in the fourth quarter when the Bucs actually started to mount a comeback where we all know the Bucs pass rush and Todd Bowles and what he's going to send at you. The Bucs sent a pressure. It was an empty set for the Niners, and they sent a five-man pressure. So the line has a one-on-one. Every offensive lineman got a one-on-one. One of the tackles loses. I think it was the right tackle, ends up losing his block. Purdy sees it, but oh so calmly takes a little step this way, kind of steps up this way, keeps his eyes downfield, boom, throws a seed to Debo, first down, and then some. I mean, the stuff this guy is doing in structure is there, but we're also seeing him do things out of structure and being able to maximize the system that Kyle Shanahan puts in place. Yeah, it's there, man.
I got to agree with you 1,000% on that. And as far as being a system quarterback, I think that's out the window, because to be a system quarterback, the head coach got to be a guy that developed quarterbacks like that. Now, he has had Jimmy G that had some success there and whatnot. But for the most part, Nick Mullins didn't turn out to be no really good quarterback there. Trey Lance, they shipped him out of there. So this is Brock Purdy, the talent. Don't get me wrong. Kyle Shanahan is definitely a big help with the play calling and the weapons that's there and the offensive line that's blocking and all of that. But even if these guys are wide open, you have to have the accuracy to be able to make the ball go there. Like, you have to make sure the ball gets there, you know, and that's Brock Purdy. That's him being accurate. So regardless of the people saying that or whatever it is, that's dumb, because I've seen quarterbacks miss wide open guys. We've seen it. I mean, we've seen it on our team, you know, guys be wide open. They'll miss Brock Purdy, you know. Brock Purdy literally is one of those guys that, those guys may be open, but he's hitting those targets, which is not something that every quarterback can do, you know, even if it look easy or not, you know. So that's a great one, bro. Great one.
Yeah, he's averaging right now an absurd 9.7 yards per attempt on the season. Next closest QB's like at 8.5, a whole yard more per attempt than the second best quarterback currently in the league right now. I mean, we're seeing territory that through this like juncture in the season, we're seeing him in a territory where only a couple of quarterbacks have really been when it comes to different types of measures and how you want to break it down. His efficiency, we've talked about, and just how he's making big chunk plays consistently, and they're starting to look easy for him. And for teams in the NFC that got to go against the Niners, I'm looking at you, Seattle. Thanksgiving. Happy Turkey Day. You're going to get this guy. And Seattle coming off their second straight loss of the season to the Rams today. Geno Smith also might be dealing with some sort of injury, so we're going to have to keep your eye on that. But the Niners right back now in the driver's seat in the NFC. Brock Purdy making that offense really, really hum right now. Appreciate y'all listening to the Cover Zero podcast. This is our Sunday recap show.
Hold on, bro.
What's up?
We got your show. We got the game. We got the game tomorrow.
I almost forgot. I legitimately almost forgot, my guy.
I got you. Hold on. I got you. I still got
my notes right here. I left them right there. I totally forgot. We got to preview the game, because tomorrow night, Monday, as you guys are listening tonight, this is when this game is going to go down. 8-1 Philadelphia Eagles traveling to Kansas City. 7-2 right now. Both teams are fresh off of a bye. And Philly right now is starting this daunting stretch of games coming up ahead for them. We'll be previewing several of them, because as we know, Philly is the king of the crop right now as we're sitting here at this point in the NFC. And this is a rematch, obviously, of the Super Bowl that we most recently saw. Early returns on this game, Jay, let's start for you with the Philadelphia offense. What are you looking for?
Now, if we looked at the last time the Chiefs took a loss, which is against the Denver Broncos, we look at how the Denver Broncos beat them. They kept trying to run the ball. They was aggressive. They kept getting after Patrick Mahomes. They was putting a lot of pressure on him. I feel like this team can do the exact same thing. This is a team that's way better than Denver. when you look at what Javonte Williams was able to do versus the Eagles, he had 27 rushes off
versus the Chiefs, yeah.
The Chiefs, not the Eagles. I'm sorry about that. The Chiefs. 27 rushes, 85 yards, and he averaged only 3.1 yards per average. But if you notice how Sean Payton and them tried to really attack that defense, they kept going after it. So Jaleel had only 4 rushes, but he had 33 yards, Jaleel McCoughlin. And then you look at Russ Wilson, he had 8 rushes for 30 yards. So they just kept keeping that offense, the Chiefs offense, off the ground. And it allowed them to kind of stay cold. They never really got a rhythm going or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And when you have a team like that, like this, that's more lethal with Jalen Hurts, DeAndre Swift, you could really make that work. And then, obviously, their passing attack. We talked about Jalen Hurts, how he's getting not better because he's already been really good. But I'm saying he's finding his stride now. You can also
returning
utilize
to form.
Those weapons, you know, that he has. Yeah, you know. So I think if I'm them, I would take that little similar approach of how Denver attacked the Chiefs. That's the way I would do it, and because it was successful. You know, why not?
For sure.
And if you look at another thing too, the time of possession. You know, I feel like if they could really dominate that, you know, that would really help. That would really help them their chances of really winning. You know, because if you look at the last team they played that was like a high-powered – the Eagles, that is. The last team they played that was a high-powered offense, similar to the Chiefs, it was the Dolphins. And they mm-hmm. dominated that time of possession. And they was able to do it with a similar style that I feel like they can attack the Chiefs with. So
mm-hmm.
that – if I'm the Eagles, that's the way I'm taking it. I'm taking it that route. You know, and, you know, and then the passing game will come. I mean, because if you look at the Chiefs, their pass defense is ranked 5th overall. They're not allowing too much
mm-hmm.
in the passing game. You know, they're allowing only 176 yards per game, only 12 touchdowns allowed. They're really good when it comes down to that department.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if you're able to really open it up a little bit with what I just mentioned, then that passing game will come for sure. So
sure.
If I'm the Eagles, that's the way I'm attacking.
That makes sense, bro. I got the same thing written down. I got a Philly run game to eat in like an exclamation point. And it makes sense on a couple of reasons. One, you have this Kansas City defense where you were bringing it up. They are much better against the pass. You mentioned the yardage. They are also 3rd in the league in sacks currently right now. And when it comes to yardage surrendered on the ground, Chiefs are giving up 4.5 yards per carry right now in the NFL. And that just that's been an area where teams have been able to have success against them. The other part about that and why I think Philly philosophically will stick to this, Cam Jurgens is coming back, the guard for the Eagles, and he's been out for a while. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the running game with Jurgens and without Jurgens, it's a lot different. It's very noticeable. With Cam Jurgens, they were 2nd in the NFL in rush yards per game at 165.5. They were also 4th in the league in yards per rush with 4.7. So you consider that 4.7 yards per carry with Cam Jurgens against a defense that is surrendering 4.5 on the ground as is, that's like fire and gasoline. This shit just gonna get worse for them.
Right.
But then you look at without Cam Jurgens, they were 20th in rush yards per game. They dipped down to 65.5 yards per game less once Jurgens was out of the lineup. And then from a yards per carry standpoint, they were 30th in the NFL when they were having to start Tyler Steen or Sua Opeta at guard in place of him. So really with those two different factors right now, I think that's just the easiest way that you have to look at it. And then like you said, the passing game will come. Dallas Goedert is going to be out. He's going to miss the game with a forearm fracture. Maybe they mix in some more Julio Jones. Last year when they were without Goedert, they did lean into more 11 personnel usage. At that time, the third receiver for them was Quez Watkins, who's more of just like a take-the-top-off burner type of dude. With Julio Jones in this stage in his career, he's more willing to block and wants to block and has a bigger and more capable body to do so in the run game. So I want to see how those two things are really deployed over there as well. And if I look at right now the strength to shift it over to the passing side of it, when it comes to Jalen Hurts, him against the blitz has not been his best friend. That's one area that he needs to sharpen himself in the NFL if he wants to continue to ascend his level of play. He's been blitzed the most in the NFL this season right now, and he also has the most interceptions in the league amongst any quarterback when it comes to getting blitzed. And they about to play the Chiefs, whose defensive coordinator is Steve Spagnuolo, who likes to blitz. They get themselves in those long third downs. This isn't where you want to see George Karloftis having the year he's having. Chris Jones starting to get going, and then Spags to send some of his real crazy exotic real pressures. Dog. Yeah. So that's kind of really the game plan. They don't want to sit there where the run isn't on the table for Philly, because then you're going to be playing into Kansas City's hands right now. So overall, we just shift it to the other side of the ball. Philadelphia's pass defense can get got. What are you really expecting to see from Philly's defense when the Chiefs have the ball?
If I'm the Chiefs, I'm utilizing Travis Kelce, as we know they will. But I'm utilizing him, not just him, but I'm also going to be using their other tight end. What's his name here? Noah Gray,
yeah.
Another guy. I mean, two tight end sets here. Because the reason why I think that would work with the Eagles, first of all, like you mentioned, their pass defense could be had. We've seen that. And not only that, the tight ends been having success. You look at Jake Ferguson. He had seven catches for the Cowboys, with the Cowboys mm-hmm. against the Eagles. He had seven catches for 91 yards and a touchdown. Even Logan Thomas, the Commanders, when they played them, you know, he had a solid game, six catches, 44 yards and a touchdown. So they're not. It's not even just the pass defense. It's the pass defense and specifically the actual tight ends. So when you got the best tight end in the league right now, so why not utilize him?
Yeah.
If I'm the Chiefs, that's where I'm going with it. Noah Gray is starting to heat up. You see Patrick Mahomes starting to try to find chemistry with these other wide receivers. As long as they're catching the ball, you know, you don't mind throwing to whoever. They just got to catch the ball. But you've seen right. Noah Gray starting to heat up last week. I think you utilize him a little bit more along with, you know, Travis Kelce. You know, and then Sky Moore, he had a solid game last week. Nothing too crazy, but a solid game. You know, maybe mm-hmm. they can get him going as well. You know, and the last time that the Eagles played the Chiefs, Travis Kelce had a really good game. You know, and that mm-hmm. was in the Super Bowl. You know, so why not? You know, and the pass defense is worse now than it was.
Right.
So that if I'm the Chiefs, that's where I'm going with it. And obviously, you know, I always got to bring up the run game, but it's the truth, man. I mean, Isaiah Pacheco, they haven't really been utilizing him, man. And I think although the rush defense for the Eagles is pretty good. It's ranked eighth. It's one of those things. I'm sorry. The rush defense is ranked number one. They're only allowing 66 mm-hmm. yards per game. But I feel like if you can get that going in the passing game, vice versa. You know, I was saying with the Eagles, if you can get the running game going, the passing game would open up. But with the Chiefs, if you can get the passing game going, the mm-hmm. running game will open up, you know. And obviously, they're not going to run the ball that heavy. Andy Reid's not one of those dudes, but just use him a little bit more. Use Isaiah Pacheco a little bit more. He's one of those special players that they have on that team. And I think Patrick Mahomes, will, you know, they could use that right now, you know. So if I'm the Chiefs, that's the way I'm attacking it.
I could see this being like a 50-attempt pass game for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
I could really see that.
Yeah, it's going to be that.
It's just like where it's like you have brought up with the tight ends being able to eat against that Philly defense.
Right.
Primarily from like when I'm like watching it. You mentioned Ferguson as well, right, who had a nice game for Dallas. There was that play at the end where it was a fourth down and CeeDee Lamb was doubled by or was bracketed by Byard, and he was in the slot bracketed by Byard and Slay. And then Dak recognized the man coverage, looked down at the bottom of the screen to Jalen Tolbert, incomplete pass, game over. Or not game, they got the ball. Anyway. But that was a fourth down where they got shut down super, super late in the game. Right. But if you watch on the replay, Zach Cunningham, the middle linebacker, who was one-on-one with Ferguson, got beat right off the snap. And there was plenty of yards to be had, possibly a touchdown there. Mm-hmm. And if I'm seeing this on film, we're seeing this on film. Andy Reid is seeing this on film. Patrick Mahomes is seeing this on film. And that's the area where they're going to go. Zach Cunningham has always struggled in pass coverage. That's been the area where you can be able to take advantage of him. This has been his MO since he's been in the NFL. And with the linebacker injury to N'Kobe Dean, we're likely to see more of him mixed in there in the coverage unit as well. On the interior, also, you have the different slot corners that they'll put out there. Since Roby's been hurt, trying to find someone who can play a little bit better, and adjust Eli Ricks, it hasn't really worked well. Sidney Brown, their rookie, like just those, that area has just been so susceptible against this defense. And then you have that pass rush that's still a very good pass rush unit, but hasn't been doing as much damage as they were last season, in particular when they were setting records in terms of total team sacks. Right now, this pass defense for Philly is allowing the fifth most yards per game. They are allowing the most first downs through the air per game and the most TDs through the air per game. This is the get right game for this Chiefs offense that hasn't quite been clicking, at least to the standards that they are used to. You mentioned the other Noah Grays and the Sky Moores. Rashee Rice is someone that I'm going to keep my eye on since coming out of this bye week for the Chiefs. We all know how Andy Reid has done coming out of a bye. Always coming out of a bye, he's done very, very well. And also going against his old team in the Eagles, he's done very, very well. So those are a couple of areas where I'm going to really be focusing on in this game. Jay, it's a 2.5-point line. Chiefs favored by -2.5. Andy Reid is 28-4, including the postseason, when coming off of a bye. What do you think is going to happen in this contest?
I think Andy Reid takes a loss here, though. I think he takes a loss here, bro. The Eagles, I kind of spoke about them being a complete team, and I really do feel that way. I feel like they have the recipe to really beat this Chiefs offense, or this Chiefs offense and defense. I feel like the Eagles got their elite on both outside of the pass defense. They're elite on both sides of the team, offense and that D-line. And with the linebackers, I feel like they can do enough to really beat this Chiefs team. So give me the Eagles. I do think this is going to be a high-scoring game, though. So all this defense that we're talking, I think they're going to have their moments. But I do think it's going to be a high-scoring game. So give me it's going to be similar to the last game. Give me 33-30, Eagles.
Okay. I got Kansas City. I just don't see the only way I could see them overcoming it is if they utilize the run and that keeps going. You steal a couple possessions away from Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. I could see that. This just, they don't match up well right now with how leaky they are in the middle of the field right now. Mahomes has 158 of his attempts on the season right now have been between the numbers, like in the hash area, in the middle of the field, from 0 to 19 yards. He's completing over 80% of those throws. That's the area where the linebackers roam. That's the area where Kelce feasts. There's just going to be too much. There is not even right now, if you were to go on like FanDuel and do like in-game bets on props, you can't even pick a Travis Kelce catch number, yardage number bet. It's going to be that high. Like there's no like bar over under, however many, et cetera, et cetera. It's just right. That's the kind of expectations I think that we're venturing into. I have it high scoring as well. I don't know if I'm going to go 33-30. I could definitely see it. Give me 30-27. I like about a 3-point game. I mean, that's still a high scoring, looking at 57 overall. But I just think there will be a time where the Chiefs offense won't get stopped and we get the Eagles into a third and long. Here come that blitz. Here comes Spags. Here come Karlaftis right now. 10th in pressures among edge rushers. We all know Chris Jones. And the different things they can do with these DBs on the back end will be enough to basically stop A.J. Brown from just utterly taking over on offense and mitigating all those things. He's still going to get his. He's A.J. Brown. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, that's why I think it's just going to be slightly edged out by the Chiefs in this one, 30-27. Okay, now officially we can thank y'all for listening to the Cover Zero podcast. I totally forgot we was even going to preview this game, but I'm glad we got to it. Glad we got to it. Yep. Going to be a very noticeable matchup as the Eagles start down this treacherous stretch to close out the regular season. Going to really be able to answer a lot of questions and reveal things as we get closer to playoff time. Everybody, have a good Thanksgiving break. We're going to still have a preview show because the slate coming up this week is a really good one. So we're going to have our preview show for that. And then on the return sometime in the near future, we'll come back with our awards here on the Cover Zero podcast. Y'all take care.